New York, you know. Yes, sir. Land of plenty and punch. The good old USA. Uncle Sam's country. Have a cigar. Compliment the Violet Day friends. Speak from the dollar country.
You can't fool me. You are an American.
Now, Captain, what we Americans would like to know is, will the Crystal Palace make money?
Money? What's that?
Oh, just an old American word.
Well, I hope the Crystal Palace will help do away with our poverty.
Poverty? What's that?
Just an old English word. Now, gentlemen of the press, you've come here for a story.
Yes.
Right. Now, once upon a time, there were three bears. A big bear, a little bear, and a...
And so the Crystal Palace project was started. Gerhardt spent the first few weeks playing around with a model.
Yeah, the brushes is very good, but these sides should curve a little more, and this bit here needs attention. There.
Oh, you artists are all the time.
Yes.
Yes. Construction on the Crystal Palace soon commenced. Hyde Park was chosen as the site. A large grassy space was cleared, despite the protests of several guardsmen and nurses. The huge steel foundation was laid, and for 3 days, Pureheart never left the spot.
Well, Captain, you'd better get home and get some sleep.
Yes, but first we'll have to move the whole palace about 4 inches to the right.
What's up for?
On my blasted foot.
Good. I say, Captain, look. There's a man and woman wandering about the palace.
What? I say, you two, come over here. How dare you come poking around? It's all out of bounds. Who do you think you are? Your conduct is most unbritish. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. What have you to say, eh?
Young man, we are not amused. Come, Albert.
There goes my chance of a knighthood. Well, gentlemen, I must say this huge steel framework looks magnificent. Eccles?
Oh, monsieur.
Run inside and ask them when they're going to start to put in the glass.
Okay. Captain?
Yes, Eccles?
It is.
Excuse me, Captain.
Yes?
I'm from the LCC. Now, we want to know if you've insured the Crystal Palace.
Insured the Crystal Palace? Against what?
Against fire.
Against fire? Did you hear that? Who ever heard of a palace made of glass and steel catching fire? I never heard of such a thing. The Crystal Palace burning.
The Stargazers.
Over Liberty Bell, my pretty little bell, you kissed me once and you knew damn well, oh, you knew damn well, my Liberty Bell, I love nobody but you. The pretty girls in Singapore and the Philippines, all along the Lani shore, all the fair Colleen, and sweet 6 feet from King Harry and Wilhelmina too. But bell, bell, my Liberty Bell, I'm still in love with you. When stars are like a string of pearls round a blue lagoon,
how the bally, bally girls dance beneath the moon.
Now while they dance, I'll take a chance and steal a kiss or two. But bell, bell, my Liberty Bell, I'm still in love with you. I'll march, march, march the whole world over. I'll sail, sail, sail the ocean blue.
They made my blinking heart a rover,
but it's never, hardly ever away from you. Singapore and the Philippines,
you're the girl that I adore, kissing all my dreams.
I'll hold you soon beneath the moon till this sweetheart be true. But bell, bell, my Liberty Bell, I'm still in love with you. Oh, my Liberty Bell, my pretty little bell, you kissed me once and you knew damn well, oh, you knew damn well, my Liberty Bell, I love nobody but you. I love nobody but you.
Thank you. And, of course, that fanfare heralds another installment in the adventures of...
That great lover of the silent screen!
He also loves the talkies.
Handsome Harry Siegel.
Thank you, thank you. My story starts last spring. I was holidaying in Italy in a place called... Funny, I can't remember what the name of the town was. Anyway, one morning I stepped out on the street and... Yes, of course, it was Venice. Luckily, I was picked out of the water by Signor Pietro Salorzo, who took me to his home.
It was nothing.
Anyway, thank you, Signor. You saved my life.
Well, we all make mistakes.
Yes, I know. I saw your wife.
No. Signor, you can do something for me.
I can?
Yes. You see, I am the conductor of the Orchestra di Sinfonia di Milano. Today we are recording symphony. We can play the beginning, but we cannot finish.
Why not?
Our drummer disappeared, and I want you to find him for me.
Our drummer? What's his name?
His name is...
Unusual.
Not real. No, not real. In actual fact, it... But the... is silent.
How do you spell it?
Spell it? Let me see. Oh, yes. You spell it... But you pronounce it...
Of course. Don't worry, Signor Salerno. I'll find him for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chicum. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Swimming briskly across the street... the steps of the concert hall, I chanced upon a citizen loudly arguing with a captain of police.
Gentlemen, please.
What's the trouble, Capitano?
I ask this man for his identity, and he says his name is... Which is ridiculous and impossible. No one can have a name like this.
Ah, but it's true, Capitano. And if you'll give me your name, I'll see that you're rewarded for finding him.
That's very kind of you, Signor. My name is...
Oh, ah.
Yes, I know your sister.
Ah.
My quest is over. I took Signor back to Signor Salozzo, who was delighted, for he was unable to finish the last movement of his symphony.
You all ready? Right. One, two. And now, in payment for your work, we accompany you in a song, no?
But my fee for detective work is 50 guineas.
So, if we got to listen to you sing, that leaves you owing us £450.
Touché. Play the introduction.
A one, a two.
Merci, la joba, et la faccia in... gente paga e ride vuole qua e sia lì fin chi la vuole colombina ride pagliaccio e ognun applauderà.
That was very, very fine, Signor Seacomb. Very, very fine. But for now, goodbye.
Goodbye.
What a pity he can swim.
Introducing Max Geldred.
Mr. and Mrs. Geldray have been married just over a year. And next week, as you guessed it, they're expecting a little visitor. Wee Georgie Woods is coming to tea. And now it's time for Peter Sellers' goon military historian, Major Bloodnock.
Thank you. I'll have that later. My name is Bloodnock, Major Bloodnock. I'm one of the Whitehall Warriors. Of course, during the war, I was a brass hat. Yes, made me a farthing, they did. Now then, you've come a lot if you stop shuffling your boots, I'll proceed. My story tonight concerns a time many, many years ago when I was in India. I was called one day to wait for
Major Bloodnock to see you, sir.
Thank you, Corporal.
Come in, Bloodnock. Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, Bloodnock, you're a brave man.
Yes, sir.
You're courageous.
Yes, sir.
Daring.
Yes. Why?
Well, we want you to go on a very dangerous mission.
Dangerous?
Corporal!
Sir?
Try and catch him before he gets to the back stop.
Right, sir.
All right, I'm back.
Oh, why, Bloodnock, for a moment I thought you were turning coward.
For a moment I was. Once outside that door, though, I realized that I had to come back.
Why?
Forgotten my hat. Goodbye.
Bloodnock!
Oh, yes, all right, you're very well.
Now, about this mission. You know that once a year we send all our wives to the hills for a rest?
Yes.
Well, this year they're having trouble at the Manipur Hill Station.
Yes.
The Senapati and his savage tribesmen are creeping up on the place at night and taking prisoners.
They are?
Yes. Only the other night they took Captain Standish and my wife completely by surprise.
About time those two were caught.
Corporal!
One night, some weeks later, Major Bloodnock, accompanied by his faithful servants, arrived at the Manipur residency and addressed the officers of the garrison.
Oh, gentlemen, my name is Bloodnock. You've all heard of me, Major Bradnock.
No.
No.
What's that? Nobody heard of me. Quite sure of that.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll appoint myself Mess Treasurer.
Now, Major Bradnock, what are you going to do about Telepathy and his savage tribesmen?
What am I going to do? If they show their faces round here, I shall kill every man jack of them and throw their bodies to the jackals. And as far as the Telepathy fellow, I'll pick him up with his throat and my own bare hands. I'll strangle him.
The Telepathies are coming, sir.
Milligan!
Sir?
Try and catch it before he gets to the next rickshaw stop.
Right, sir.
Oh, I'm back. Now, don't worry about me. I'm a soldier. And I'm going to die with my boots on.
Why?
I've got holes in my socks. Anyway, never fear, men. As soon as the tribesmen attack, I shall be out there shouting the Ikatika war cry. Ikatika! Ikatika!
What does that mean, sir?
Let's get the hell out of here.
Major Bloodlock, sir. Major. Long live Rule Britannia. American admirals never shall be slaves. Hooray.
Yes, Abdul?
A message just arrived with this letter, sir. Hooray.
Oh, letter? Let me see. Quick, Scott. Oh, quick. Switch all the lights off.
Wait, sir. What is it?
Electricity bill.
Major!
Yes, Ellington?
I'm tired of being just a butler. I want to help in the fighting.
Oh, splendid, Ellington. You know that bloodthirsty savage monster, Senapati?
Yes.
Well, I want to volunteer to go and fight him single-handed.
You do?
Yes.
Well, I sure hope he finds somebody.
Very well, then. I shall go myself, alone.
You're a brave man, Bloodnock.
I know, Benteen, I know. You see these medals?
Yes. What did you get them for?
10 bob, the lot. Now, give me my gun. Stand away from the door. Goodbye, man.
Goodbye, sir.
Ellington!
Yes, Major!
Ellington!
Yes, Major!
For goodness sake, open this door and turn the gas down.
Why?
I'm in the oven.
Wait a minute, Major. Someone's coming.
Got it, sir. The Senapati himself, sir.
Now, where is this Major Bloodnock? I, Senapati, will kill him.
Major Bloodnock? He ain't here.
No. Then what are those feet sticking out of the oven?
That's a chicken.
Oh, chicken, eh? Oh, well, we must turn the gas up and cook it well, mustn't we? Like this. That's it. Now, let me have a look inside. So, Ellington, what have you to say now?
Dinner is served!
And so we leave a rather browned-off Major Bloodnock to stew in his own juice. Members of the Andrew Timothy fan club will be pleased to know that old Tim is in form as usual. And now, once again, Ray Ellington brings you favorite songs of your favorite singers. And this week it's Al Jolson.
When there are gray skies, I don't mind the gray skies. I'll still have you, sunny boy. Friends may forsake me, let them all forsake me. I still have you, sunny boy. You came from heaven, and I know your worth. You're sent from heaven to me right here on earth. When I'm old and gray, dear, promise you won't stray, dear. I love you so, sunny boy, 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 boy. There's no way of knowing. There's no way of showing.
Now look here, Ginger.
See that money?
Why you're always for me, sunny boy.
Somebody told me how to stop.
came from heaven, and I know your worth. You're sent from heaven for me here right on the turf. When I'm old and gray, dear, promise you won't stray there. I love you so, sunny boy. Ginger.
Mammy, mammy, there's my little ginger boy. I'd walk a million miles for one of your smiles, cause I love you. I love you. Yes, I love you. Funny boy.
At this point in the Goon Show, a long explanatory announcement is required. This week, however, we need only tell you that there follows the story of the world's greatest film. It begins quite simply with a telephone call.
Hello, this is the Bank of England here.
Hello, Murray.
Yes?
This is Harry Chalkham, the film producer. I've got a smashing new idea for a film. Now, it's all about ancient Rome and Nero and the lions eating the slaves.
But won't that upset vegetarians?
Don't be funny. They'll get eaten the same as the rest of them. Now then, Murray, will you put out the money for it?
Well, that all depends on the star of the film, Mr. Sharkham. You'll need a good dramatic actor, you know. Nothing or variety crew.
Ah, don't worry about that. The geezer I've got in mind strictly through a program.
Really? Who is it?
Ted Ray. I'll tell you what, I'll send my agent round to see him right away.
Ah, Mr. Ray, I should, well, before I say anything, could I have your autograph, please? I thought your performance was wonderful, Mr. Ray. What acting! And I've always wanted your autograph. Thank you, Mr. Ray. Thank you very much. You're a good boy, Andrew. Now, where's your father, Ted?
I'll call him. Dad! Where are you, Dad?
What's that you say? Where am I? Hello, boys and girls. I'm here in the back garden digging for gold and raise a lot.
What? You expect to find gold in your back garden?
Yes, why shouldn't I? Because...
here it comes.
That's where I buried it.
In desperation, Mr. Chalkham rang up the brain, the pulse, the nerve center of British film.
Hello, Hollywood.
But they were no help. There was only one thing left to do. Having scraped the bottom of the barrel with no results, he was forced to go to the bottom of the barrel itself, the BBC variety department.
Here, cut you with the big head.
You the head of the BBC?
No, I'm Andrew Timothy.
What? Oh, the famous home service announcer? Oh, I'm terribly sorry, sir. Oh, I really ask permission to speak, sir. Please, sir.
Well... if you insist.
Well, it's like this, that I'm making a film, you see, and I can't get any straight actors, so I'm going to use variety people, you know, comedians and all that lot, you know.
Well, why don't you get hold of people like Bob Hope or Jack Benny or...
what, use Americans? Use Americans? When right here in the BBC there are perfectly good English comedians like Bernard Braden, Ben Lyon, Barbara Kelly, Baby Daniel. Baby Daniel, that's right.
Finally, however, Mr. Chalkham succeeded in casting the main role of this.
Marky Vinicus, or whatever his name is. You see, the star part. He's a big handsome fella. Steely grey eyes and bulging with muscles and all that lark, you see. So, my son, I think you're just a man for the part, see?
Oh, thank you. And a jolly good morning to you.
Yes, well, hang on a sec. You see, the female star's going to be Gladys Laverne.
Gladys Laverne? But she's terrible.
Well, I know. But my wife says Gladys Laverne's got to be the star. And if my wife says Gladys Laverne's going to be the star, then Gladys Laverne's going to be the star.
And who's your wife?
Gladys Laverne.
Well, the film was finally cast and is now complete.
In the savage band from ancient Britain with an ancient leader, Billy Cotton. Yes, come next week to see Kew Barrett and the magnificence of Nero's palace. Hear the gentle lilting melodies of the Roman court musicians.
Convert for peace as you. Exile for drama. What a wretch I'd go.
love song of one gladiator as he hurls the British slave across the arena to another gladiator.
Over to you. Over.
See the dramatic scene in which Nero chooses one of the slave girls to be his wife.
Yes, I'll take that one there with the long, wavy blonde hair.
Now, Jimmy, you know I only watched it last week and I can't do a thing with it, Jimmy.
On the scene where Nero sees Rome in flames and cries,
flipping kid.
Or the scene in which Nero reads the letter from Hannibal and says,
what is this drivel? This rubbish, this utter nonsense.
Well, who says the next line? Here, come on, Timothy, you're supposed to say. Go on.
I'm not an actor. I'm an announcer. The BBC only allows me to say one line.
Well, take that then. Go on, start again.
Nero.
All right, then. What is this dribble? This rubbish? This utter nonsense?
This is the BBC Home Service. You've been listening to The Golden Show, a recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Seacombe, Michael Benteen, and Spike Milligan, with the Ray Ellington Quartet, Max Geldre, and the Stargazers. The BBC Dance Orchestra was conducted by Stanley Black, incidental music by Wally Scott. The script was written by Spike Milligan and Larry Stevens and edited by Jimmy Grubb. The program was produced by Dennis Mainwolf.
Next week, The Goons present The Merchant of Venice, featuring... Good day to you, Mr. Shylock.